plate a potential nugget.
And back to, given you've spent so much time in this, thinking about this very fundamental piece around mindset, the way we approach life, Venkat, what are some of the misconceptions you see around the notion of giving and philanthropy in the way the people think about it? What are the common mistakes you see people make in the way they frame it in their head?
I think there might be multiple different conceptions. One, of course, is the most common one is the need to directly see the impact of your giving immediately. So the need for instant gratification in giving is very high. And I actually don't blame people who are at that. I think it's early stage of your giving journey. You're bound to be like that. Mm. We need to build giving products that allow for that instant gratification. I think the fundraising business in India hasn't learned that as well as it should. And if you meet that instant gratification, people then move on to other things over a period of time. The need for instant gratification, if it persists too long, then you wind up taking a lot of giving decisions that are short-term value but not long-term impact. Right?
Could you give an example just to illustrate the point?
So, feeding a child versus helping, the family build its own livelihood so that the father can feed the child for the rest of the child's life, as one example. Or many such examples. I think whenever we choose to focus on, the teach a man to fish versus give the man a fish example, there are situations where it is important to give the fish, obviously, because we're going to die of starvation. There's no point teaching you how to fish. But I think we're not always in that situation. I think far more often than not, we tend to focus on the immediate amelioration rather than the building of the capacity to solve the problem by the person on their own, so to say. So I think that is one definite challenge. Another big misconception is this allergy to overheads that people have, right? And I distinguish between fundraising cost and overhead. I think allergy to fundraising cost is very, very good and very healthy. In an ideal world, we should drive fundraising costs down to as close to zero as possible, because fundraising actually serves no other purpose than raise the money for the NGO. Right? So if there was a situation where it could reach 0%, that is really ideal. It's a necessary evil. Right? But if you look at the rest of the overheads of an organization, biggest misconception is that NGOs should have low overheads. I think it's the stupidest approach to giving that one could have. And I keep telling people this, right? So, for example, if you go out there and buy a toothpaste, a tube of Colgate toothpaste, do you really care what percentage of that toothpaste went to Katrina Kaif for modeling that toothpaste, right? Or do you even care what percentage is profit or what percentage overhead, etc.? All you care is how much is this costing and what is the value you are delivering. Right? I think as philanthropists, as givers, we need to move towards that, where we ask ourselves, I don't care about all of where the money is getting spent. You tell me what is the outcome you're going to deliver. So I think there's a desperate need to get more people to shift towards outcome orientation in their philanthropy. I think that's another big misconception, that overheads need to be low and all of that kind of stuff. And it results in a lot of, people will just recast the way they state their financials, so that they'll show lower rates.
Fair. And, in your first annual report, as I was reading about two decades back, you talk about a paragraph that you wish you saw in 2020, which actually says, "Dear stakeholders, Give India is closed down as donors are directly engaged with the NGOs and there's no need for an organization like Give India." As you take stock, given where we are today, Venkat, how do you see the job to be done?
I think long way to go. I think, it was more wishful thinking than this thing. And also, I think when you're young, you think change is easy. As you grow older, you realize how difficult it is, especially behavior change in a society and stuff like that. And you also, school of hard knocks also helps you realize how ordinary you are. When you're young and full of successes, you think you're a rock star. So maybe a lot of that had to go into that thought process. But the intent was very clear that, you know, I mean, like I said, fundraising costs are a parasite. They should ideally not exist. I was very clear. And, you know, it's a sentence I use a lot and that gets a lot of people very upset. I actually say it often in order to dramatize it. My favorite sentence nowadays is, every NGO is like a boil on the forehead of society, right? And it gets a lot of people upset because, you know, NGOs are doing such fabulous work, so why are you... But, you know, boil on your forehead is a symptom of something wrong with you deeper inside, right? So the existence of an NGO actually is a reflection that our government is not doing its job. It's a reflection that as a society, we don't care enough about people, right? Peter Drucker said a very interesting thing. He said that the purpose of philanthropy above everything is that, and he said it in American context, obviously, so that he said that every American, when he looks in the mirror, should see two things: a citizen who takes responsibility and a neighbor who cares. The two cornerstones of what the goal of philanthropy is, to leave the philanthropist as a citizen with responsibility and a neighbor who cares. So giving is a lot more about the giver than about the receiver, right? And if we can make this happen, if every Indian becomes a citizen who takes responsibility and a neighbor who cares, then we've solved the problem, right? We don't need to worry about malaria. If everybody cares, they'll solve malaria.
About 4 years back, I joined a group of philanthropists and became part of an organization called Social Venture Partners, or SVP in short. The thesis behind this is that organizations need help beyond funding, and a lot of it is around capacity building, which are often seen as overheads by donors. Things like leadership development, building out tech infrastructure, and so on. It is through SVP that I got introduced to Antarang Foundation and its founder Priya Agrawal, and started working with them. Seeing the potential of one of the students from Antarang, I decided to hire two of the students as editors for my podcast. One of them, Akash, for example, wants to set up an independent consulting practice over the long term, and I'm trying to do my bit in setting him up towards that. I can relate to Venkat's point here that it's a journey, and you slowly move from giving fish to solving for deeper issues that are there, and you figure out your role in the system based on the skills you bring and what gives you energy. All I can say is it's been 3-4 years in this journey, and it's been an extremely fulfilling one for me. Here's Govind Iyer, the recently appointed chair of Social Venture Partners in India, and the person that got me started on this journey of philanthropy. He speaks about why he chose to participate in Living My Promise, which is around giving away 50% of your wealth.
Hi. Living My Promise is a fabulous movement that started in India by a few very well-meaning individuals. When I heard about it, I instantly signed up because I felt it's the best way for me as an individual to give back to all those that have given me over the last many, many years of my life. It's rare that one comes across an opportunity to do something for human civil society and for human beings. And I saw Living My Promise as a great option to get together with a bunch of promisers, all with the same singular focus of making a difference to civil society. That's what led me to join up. That's what makes me so excited about making a difference. I do want to mention that it's not all about money. It's also about engagement. It's also about passion. It's also about impact. So whether you're 30 years of age or whether you're 60 years of age or older, start giving now and start giving through the best way you think works for you. There is no one way for all. Everybody has to choose their own journey.